Well, I do desire your prayers. I agree with the song. We have a wonderful Lord. I'd like to start tonight with a scripture in Ecclesiastes. The 8th chapter and the 11th verse says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And I think that tonight, that no matter what place that you're in, that this could be a very valuable thought to you, because I think it's a part of human nature to not to be able to deal with the idea of time very well. And it is really hard for us, I think, to really get the value of something, or really put the value of something on something now that's not going to be gained till later. Or to really not put value on something that's not going to be worth something later. I think time for us is a hard concept sometimes. And I remember years ago when I was a young man, young in teenage years, I've always liked the idea of farming and planting things and seeing it grow. And I remember looking at some trees that I was probably 17, 18 years old at the time. I looked at some trees and that I wanted to plant. They were some fruit trees, and I read the little tag on the fruit trees, and the trees said on there that it would be bear fruit in 3 to 5 years. And I looked at that, and you know, it was 15, 20 bucks a tree, and I looked at that and thought, that's just 3 to 5 years. I'm going to have to pay money now, but I won't get anything to 3 to 5 years. 3 to 5 years. And I didn't buy the trees. And then sometime after that, about yearly, I would run onto this idea of buying these fruit trees. But every time I'd see these little trees, they'd be just little. And the idea of planting them and waiting as long as it took to bear fruit, I couldn't hardly get the concept. And therefore, I didn't plant the trees. And that's been 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I could have planted trees that would be very well established trees and bearing much fruit if attended. But because it's hard for you and I to really grasp the concept of getting something, delayed gratification, if you will, getting something that's beyond that, many times we don't put out the effort to plant the seeds, to take the effort, to do really what we need to do, to really put the investment into time and energy into saying that if I do this, they're having a conversation today with somebody, and the conclusion of it was it's always right to do right. Because it will bear fruit some years away. And it don't always appear like that is the best thing to do. It don't always appear like I can gain something immediately. I can't. Sometimes I'm going to have to be play the fool. Sometimes I'm going to have to be humbled. Sometimes I'm going to have to be made look bad. Run over, if you will. But sometimes it works that way. But I want to tell you tonight that ultimately, always, God backs His Word. God will always back His Word. This scripture says that because a sentence, because there's no immediate penalty, if everything that was wrong to do was like electric fence, we'd stay away from wrong. You may want to do it, but there would be enough penalty against it to keep you from doing it, because when, as soon as you touched it, you'd be lit up. And so, therefore, you would learn not to touch things that light you up, but God didn't set His system up that way. He set a system up that if you want to, you can do wrong and sometimes get by with it, nearly all, and sometimes all of this life. And because of that, people have said in their heart, because they don't have any immediate sentencing on it, they've said in their heart that it's okay to do certain things in their life. But I want to say again, God's Word is absolutely always true. What He says will always come to pass. And I think it's very valuable for us tonight, no matter what position we're in, to recognize that tonight, because we are going to have to give an account. We don't give an account immediately for the deeds we do, do we? And because we don't, we may think that we can slip by a little bit on that or be a little easy with it because we don't have to give an account. But you know, God's Word said we're going to give an account.
That's right.
I remember looking that up one time, and that meant a literal account where you're standing audibly speaking words. Now, I don't know how God's going to do all that, but it says that you, when you give an account, that you're going to have to actually speak and say, this is what I do. That's a fearful thing to think of, that I'm going to have to give an account of my life to God for the grace that He gave, the power of His salvation, for the great salvation plan that He made. I'm going to have to give an account for what I've done with that. I'm going to have to tell God why I didn't take advantage of the places that He had for me. And do you know that the Scripture teaches us that when He comes back, He's going to bring 10,000s of His saints with Him? And what's that all about? It's for judgment. Because do you know that for every time, every situation that you've been in, ever been in, every wrong that you've ever done that you justify, that in judgment, the Lord would be able to turn to a faithful saint and say, arise with your testimony, and they'd be able to say, God had grace for me. I faced that thing and 10 times the more, and God had grace for me every time. And then what would you have to do but hang your head? Because if one man can do it by God's grace, we all can.
Yes, that's right.
But because a sentence of an evil work is not executed speedily, just instantaneously, people have a mind that they can get it by with something. So let's look at that a little bit tonight in our minds. Maybe, just maybe the Lord bless it to let it help us in our everyday lives and the decisions we made. We already heard in this night meeting of the burden that we have for young people, because they get in that place of youth. I was there. I remember the invincibility that you feel and how it doesn't seem like anything matters, and because most of the time young people don't get sick very much. They don't really know what it means to really have responsibility, to really take care of things. And I mentioned that today in a conversation also. Well, let's just give them time, because one of these days, real life's going to fall on them hard. Real hard. And then they're going to have to say, when maybe at this time they're making decisions to go out and run the world and get all they can get out of the world and push it to its limits and find the excitement and the excitement in the entertainments of the world, and they want to listen to these musics and watch all this stuff and do all this stuff. But I ask this question, are they going to call on that in the day of their trouble? Are they going to holler for the entertainment figures that's out there in the world, the big time stars? Is that what's going to secure them in their life? No, it's not. There's going to have to be a time, sometime there, that everybody's going to come and say, what's this all about? So Lord, help us. Consider a scripture that's found in Genesis. I won't turn to it. Just look at it a little bit. Minds. Adam and Eve. Now, God created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden and came down and walked with them in the cool of the evening, and they had a fellowship with God right there. And God didn't put much burden on them at all, did He? He made euphoria for them. They didn't have sickness and diseases, and they did not know anything about death. They did not experience any of the bad things that you and I know. They were put in this situation, and God was pleased that His creation enough that He said at their creation, when all the rest of it He said was good, He said with them it was very good. God was pleased to have a being there that He could come and fellowship with, and it pleased God in His creation, and He made them, and He didn't burden them with a lot of things, but He did say something to them, didn't He? God's Word had come to them and said to them that I'm going to place in the midst of the garden a tree. And of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but of this one tree you can't eat. You can't eat of the tree. It's forbidden to you. Of all that you can do around and about, you can have free course, but I limit you with this one thing, and that is called choice. In order for man to have choice, there had to be a way. There had to be something there that he could have chose. Or else there is no choice at all. So he said there, I love you, you love me. And we'll see the strength of it. And in the middle of it, he put the choice that man had. And he also put the penalty there. He said to them that if you eat of this, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, you can bat that around in all kind of ways. What does that mean? The devil come along with that very idea. What does that mean? Oh, it doesn't really mean what it says it means. God knows something different, and He's trying to keep you from it, and that's all that it means. And you can say all that it means, but do you know what it means? It means you shall surely die. It wasn't a play on words. It meant from the moment it happened. It wasn't instantaneous physical death, but there was a death that happened instantaneously, and one that began even increasing as they lived life. There was a corruption that happened to them, and God had spoken it, and it was going to come true, and God has told us in His Word that speaking of our lives, He said, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He said, if you walk in the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. That is as true a word. And you might say, I've been living in the flesh for a long time and I'm not reaping. Oh, yes, you are. You're reaping. And you're going to reap the more as you go. If you live after the flesh and the fleshly desires of life, you're going to reap corruption. Corruption basically means to rot. Something, a major part of you is rottening. And the more it rottens, the less of God it holds. The less potential of God it holds. The less of goodness it can hold on to. The more that it corrupts, the more selfish it becomes. The more you walk after the flesh, the more corruption happens in life. I'm here to say today that if we could only see what only God does really see. You know, we have this thing about the future, don't we? Every New Year's comes along, there's always somebody making a prediction for the events of the next year. And I hear it on the radio sometimes, or see it in the paper, and they'll go in and show what last year's prediction was, and everybody's fascinated by the idea of the future. What does my future hold? I know, especially when you're young, you may think, what is my future hold? What's life going to deal out to me, and how's it going to be for me? And some people would even dare to say, I wonder when I'm going to die, and those kind of things. And the future is something that they have, well, people pay money to come up to a person that's supposed to be able to read your future. They pay money to it. There's other people that make phone calls into astrologers and give them information, and they'll try to predict the future to them. And some people look at the stars' alignments, and there's all kind of ways and people, and they're all looking for leadings. They're all looking for answers to something. They're all trying to get a heads up on what might happen in their lives and want to know the future of their lives. Well, you know, God has already dictated some of those things to us. It's only God can, and God knows. And one of the things that He says, that if you eat in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And if we could only look, if God would allow tonight, this congregation of people, if God would roll back the scroll, roll back the screen, and let us see the path that was on. Somebody said recently, I think I can say it pretty close the way he said it. He said that the way you're going is the... If you keep going the way you're going to end up where you're going. So you have to say tonight, where am I going? Because if I keep going the way I'm going to end up where I'm going. So where is it that I'm going? Adam and Eve made a very simple, look like innocent, doesn't it? Doesn't it look very innocent compared to what we have in the world around us today? It looks very, very innocent, cheap even. It looked like nothing. It looks like something, if anything could be looked over, it maybe could have been looked over a little bit. But it can't be looked over. It can never be looked over. God said something. Then the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Death is a part of this. Young people, especially tonight, all of us, but young people tonight, the decisions that you make now have great consequences to them. Make your decisions in God. In God. What you do now will set your mindset for the future. It'll set the way you see things, the way you look at things. It'll set your hopes, your dreams. It'll set the way you are in life. You say great decisions, I say little decisions. Little decisions is what is going to make a great difference in your life. You say, the very devotions that I decide, how important are they? What I decide to do with my time, how important is the service of God? How important is it for me to seek the direction of God for my life? It's utmost. One deviant place there could lead you so far. Away. Now, I happened to be in surveying for years. It was my occupation. And one of the things that I thought was very interesting is when he set that transit up, and there was always somewhat tolerance in our instruments and those things. We know that there's a certain tolerance in scopes and the motions of the plates and everything on the transits, and you know that, and you calibrate, and then what we would do from time to time when we was intending to lay out a straight line, if it was over a long course, we would tie our survey back. And we would do necessary adjustments to that, because if you don't, and you get a little tangent in there, and at first it don't seem like much. I mean, just a few seconds on the dial is hardly noticeable. As a matter of fact, it's not noticeable. It's so little. But as distance goes and time goes on that, if you will, then the space between what's true and what's false becomes more and more evident as time goes on, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, because there's no check to that, because I'm not looking to the checks to that. I'm not trying. I'm going on with my life, and I'm blinded to it. I don't want to see. Don't you tell me I'm wrong. Lord, help every one of us to be willing to be checked.
Amen.
Lord, please, in this time life, do a check survey on me. Help me to know that if there's tangents, if decisions that I make are, do you know, I'll give you just little illustrations. I've known people that just made the decision to go to school somewhere. Well, that's not a bad thing. Go to school. Go to school somewhere. That ain't a bad decision. I wouldn't say it right off. If God ain't in it, it's a bad choice. I've known, say, you may say, well, that ain't a big deal. You go one school one or someplace else, or not go at all. I don't see that big decision. I've known people that went to school and found their companion there. It's getting a little more serious now, ain't it? That can make a big difference about your life and how you lead it and what kind of inspiration's on your life and how you feel about things and what you look at and all those kind of things can be greatly affected by your spouse. Sure it can. And what the basis of what their whole faith and religion is may be in that too. So there's a lot to consider as we go along making life's choices. So Adam and Eve were the first. They started off, didn't they? And God said to them, if you eat this, you will surely die. And I'm sure that I speculate. Now, looking at human nature, they eat of the fruit. And I'll be honest with you, my mind is it tasted good. I think that it looked good and it probably was real. Just by the analogy of it, I think it was probably very pleasant to look at and eat. And when, if she had been into that and it would have been bitter and sour, she would have spit it to the ground and said, Adam, don't try this stuff. It's not fit to eat. But she didn't do that. She ate it and said, you know what? This is pretty good. And so, gave it to Adam and he ate, and now here they are. And I imagine there just for a while. I imagine, sin being what sin is, I imagine that they did that and then they looked at one another and said, we ain't dead. I ain't dead. You ain't dead. The serpent must have been right. Because God said, if we eat of it, you die, we ain't dead, so it must be right. Do you know right at the moment that they probably didn't even aware something started happening into a part of the creation that they had that they couldn't really get a handle on that's called our soul. Down in their soul, something started corrupting and guilt started forming. And I wonder if maybe about that time that never was probably done before, maybe Eve done something that just irked Adam a little bit. And then there's where something happens and he says, wife, watch out of the way. Where did that one come from? He said that in the day ye eat thereof, you shall surely die. And surely die you are. And therefore, you see then the progress of this whole thing. And then they looked at themselves and said, we're naked. And the Lord said, who told you that? How did you ever come to an understanding of that? Did you eat of the tree over there? They tried in themselves. The first act they done was to try to, in their own human way, to start covering up with the things that they had done wrong. The things that they wanted a human element to try to do it. That's what we do, folks. That's what our world is full of trying to do, is put band-aids on the soul's problems. There's only one solution to our soul's problems. And it's in our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can cure the problems of our souls. You run around and try to get this and try to get that and put a band-aid on and I'll do better and I'll go to the... And some of these institutions are not bad. I'm not claiming they are. They're just not the right ones. There is one that's a delivering force to us that will secure our souls. But because the sentence is not executed speedily. Men set in their heart to say, it won't get me, it don't catch me, I don't see the effect of it. But the effect happens so subtle to you in your life. A young man makes his decisions and then when he's middle-aged, all of a sudden, it starts tumbling down on him, crashing down on him. He's had fun, he's run the world, he's done all this, and now his body's given out on him. And now he can't find faith, he can't find hope in there because he's squandered some very essential things down in his life. And the Lord's words coming true all the time. I want to tell you tonight, He never spoke a word that did not come true. Everything that God has ever done and said is coming to pass. It will be totally true. Did you know that the Lord actually teaches, I know this is 2010, okay? But the Lord actually teaches that He's going to come back one of these days. Now, I know that if you'd say that mainstream, people would look cross-eyed at you and say, where did these guys come from? But the Lord still said that.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
Do you know that the Lord teaches that there is an eternal hell?
Yes.
He does. That's the Word of God. There is a place of torment for the soul that's not ready. Do you know that's the Word of God?
Yes.
And if you by chance make it through this life in pretty good shape, you don't have to face up to many things you do in this life. I'll tell you this. You'll face up to it in the next one. But because there's no sentence, because Adam and Eve didn't do it quickly. And then what happens? What happens after Adam and Eve? What was there a heartache in their life? What happened just a little ways into their life? I am suspecting that Adam and Eve's life was full of much trouble right from the beginning. But then they had a couple sons. You hear how precious your children are to you? They had a couple sons, Cain and Abel. Two fine boys. Right off the start, got a couple boys. What the heartache that they had to do. Because one rose up and slew the other one. Oh, it must have been terrible to have to face such a thing as that. Losing a son in that kind of a way. They didn't just lose one son. They lost them both. The other one was banished. And so they lost both of them. And the heartache was starting to catch up with a decision, folks. There was a decision made that didn't carry much of it immediately. Oh yeah, God separated himself fairly immediately. And he will from you too. Doesn't he? The first thing happens is that God separates. His Spirit separates from our lives. We don't have that leadership. We don't have that Spirit that we're comforted in the night. We don't have that reassurance. We don't have the guidance. We don't have the comfort of His Spirit. It's gone. But then, as it goes, more and more of that decision becomes evident and evident and evident right on through. And then it becomes much heartache in people's lives. Oh, how often I look and say in my heart and mind, please don't do it. Please don't do it. I've seen people that went down that path. Oh, young people tonight, don't go that way. You'll look and say, there's no sentence to it. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. It just gets tighter and tighter all the time. I'm minded of a story that I read several years ago of a young girl. She was an A student. She was her freshman year in high school. She was a band member, I think. She was very upstanding, from an upstanding family, and everything was, she had the world by the tail, so to speak. Everything seemed to be going her way. Come from a good family, had enough. It was, and she was doing well. Story went on, and she was in a situation to where she was in the park with some of her friends, and she got her affections on a senior. She got her affections on him, and she was kind of wowed by him, and so they were all out in it was a kind of a public group. There were several young people there at the park, and all of a sudden they pull out some marijuana, had some joints. They started lighting them up and handing them around. And of course, this guy that's this senior, he was kind of the head of this thing, and they handed it to her. Oh no, I don't do that kind of thing. I don't do that. Oh, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean. Goody two shoes. Oh, you're better than the rest of us, obviously, here. The kind of pressures, and I've said this many times, I'm 48 years old. Peer pressure is all but gone with me. You can't, peer pressure, it doesn't mean, but I remember being 15 years old and the pressure of being different. I remember it. And it was quite, it's real. It's real. You couldn't do it at 48 with me much, but you could then. And that's why the warning's going out of the decisions that you make in life. This was a decision. I don't know how much warning there was against it, but I'll say tonight, guard yourself. Guard yourself against affections. Guard yourself, because the Scripture, what is it, Proverbs 28, 26, something like that, says that a fool, you're a fool to trust in your own heart. You're a fool to trust in your own heart. Your heart will deceive you with what it tells you is the best thing. You're a fool. This young girl said no, initially. But the pressure got to her until she gave in a little bit and smoked a little pot with them. What's the harm? Everybody knows pot, just a little pot don't hurt anybody. I've heard that all my life. I also know where it goes. Where this girl went. They did a little of that, and she got to have to lie to her parents a little bit. She had never lied to her parents like that. But all of a sudden now questions are coming and she's got to start lying, and before long things are happening and she's deceiving, and before long it went from marijuana into harder stuff and then and harder stuff, and all of a sudden she's lying and cheating, and then all of a sudden there's her, by the beginning of her junior year, the parents find out that the young girl not only is not making A's, she's not making B's, and she's failing most of her classes. And they're saying, what's happened to our daughter? And they're starting to look into it, and she's a liar. And now she's willing. She's willing when they find and say, no, you're not doing that. They put her in the room, and she goes out the window. And off into the world that she chose, she run into it. And this was a good young person that made a choice one time, a very simple choice, to have an affection to somebody that she ought not have. To have a, to go, I'll even say it this much, folks, guard your friends. I'm not saying that they're in the place to love people in their souls. I say guard your relationships and who you're going to value that way. She put her life into that. And you know what the end of it was? The end of her story was, this was a true story, this young girl was overdosed on an apartment floor. And somebody saw that they got some bad drugs, and she had the worst of it, and they noticed that she was dying, and as they run off, someone called 911 out of mercy, and they run off from her. And they ended up getting there, and there she was, and she was months in rehabilitation, in the hospital. And do you know who was sitting there with her? This guy? No, this guy's long gone. All the friends that drugged it with her, was they? No, they was all gone. And she woke up saying, where's my friends at? Where are they at? Nobody's there. But you know who was there? You know who was there? Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad were there because they're hard to shuck off. They're there because they really love you. They're going to hang in there because they care for real. And the things that they try to get you to do is really for your good. They love you. But I'll take it farther than that. There's one that loves you more than that. That never will leave you or forsake you. There's one that will follow you all the way through, and he'll be there. He's there. And he still speaks. He still speaks to the hearts of people, still trying to say, please. Please, my child, don't do it. You know why? Because he knows in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He knows that you're dying. He come to rescue. He come to rescue. He come to deliver. He come to take out all that stuff. And you know what I think's beautiful? I would like to say that I was one that never took a path like that. But the truth of it is, I was one that took a path like that. Not just like it, but similar. And there was one that called me out of that. And I'm so thankful today that he did, and over, when I look at other people's shipwreck, I don't look at them and say they deserve it. I look and say, thank God for your grace that delivers. Because I was going down that path, and if I kept going down that path, I'd end up where I was going. But one called one day in love and mercy and said, don't go down that path any longer. And isn't it wonderful tonight that no matter where you're at or what you've done or what decisions that you've made, there's still the ability to erase that thing clean? But because people look and say, I'm not being sentenced. The Lord has no voice hardly in their minds and hearts. And so He gives these kind of little messages to a preacher to stand up and say, it's coming. Your shipwreck is just ahead of you. And the Lord's calling. Don't go that way. The history of people, look in the Bible and look at the history that I'm telling you about, that of people that thought, even some of the mighty ones that thought, there is no sentence against an evil work. Saul came to the point that he was willing to do what he was commanded not to do. And he'd done it anyway. He didn't do it because God stood there with a sword over him. He done it because he felt like he could get by with it. Did he get by with it? There come a day that the prophet came, and you remember that when he said, what meaneth the bleeding of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? He said, I done the will of God. And he said, well, what's this stuff? And you remember after he said, the kingdom be rent from you, and he grabbed the prophet and rent his mantle, and he said, the kingdom's taken from you the same way. It's rent from you. What happened to Saul from that point on? Now, what happened to him? He got an evil spirit in his life. There is theology for that, but I'm going to tell you, there was an evil spirit to this man, and he never prospered after that. He never prospered. What happened? Way back there, he made a decision one day, and he followed a course. And that course led him on and on and on. And I believe with all my heart, when that prophet was sent to him, God sent that prophet for more than one reason. And I think when that prophet come up there and said, and when instead of him coming saying, I done the will of God, I think if he'd have come up there and just dropped down to his knees and say, oh prophet, oh man of God, have mercy on me. Let's call on God. I haven't done his will, and I'm so sorry for it. You know what I think the story would have read? I think it would have read altogether different. I think that God would have said, you're somebody that's after my own heart. But he went away from that point. Now to bring this in. What did Saul's, what was his altar, what was his end failure? What was the thing that he done that just typified everything that he had gone to? He needed some direction, didn't he? He needed some direction. He needed some counsel. He needed to know something. He was being desperate now to know something. Did he call for the prophet, the man of God? Did he call on God? He went to the witch of Endor. That's how low his decisions had got him. Now, I know you're thinking tonight, no, I would never go into the occult. I would never go into sorcery. I would never go into trying to get my information from the alignments of stars and astrology. You don't think so. You don't think that you try to find a comfort in a drink or a smoke. You don't think you'd try to escape the roughness of the world where there's no grace of God. You wouldn't try to get a substance to get you out of it. Because most do at one point or another. You say, well, I would never take my own life. People do. And you say, how did they get there? Most of the time, they started with a little corruption. And it corrupted them all the way down. They make decisions. Lord, help us look at that. Here was the great King David. The great King David. And he got himself into a situation. And you know what he had to have said? Because a sentence against the evil work is not executed speedily. I'm king. I can do something here. I can say go and they go and come and come. And he got himself caught into something. And he did some things that was absolutely detestable. Absolutely detestable. The only difference was the response after the prophet came. The only difference was, I think that if he went on taking his own way, there would have been a whole different line. God would have had to got him another king somewhere. The whole idea of kings of Israel was standard by David. They always said like your father David, like King David, or like some of the others, but that was the pattern to follow was king. And when the prophet come to him, he humbled himself before the Lord and said, Lord, you choose the penalty. I lay myself on you to choose mine. He was putting his hand into the Lord. My only hope and chance in this life is if the Lord saves me. Yes. If the Lord has mercy on me in my life, it's the only hope I've got. It's the only hope you have.
That's right.
The choices that we make that are wrong, there's still an answer to those things. If we don't run them their course, oh Lord, have mercy on us tonight. Send your spirit to convict me in my life. Allow me to see where I'm at in life, because David come to that point and hid and deceived and all that, and the prophet came and basically taught him, and do you notice what he done? He was right off indignant about a man to do another man that way. Thou art the man, David. Oh Lord,
yes.
Am I really? Have you ever had the Lord to come and tell you something and say, you're it, and you're, oh, why, I've argued that. I ain't like that. And the Lord come and pinpoint and say, there you are. And you say, Lord, have mercy. That's me. Help me to be better than that. Give me grace for this life. And you can go on through the Scriptures and pick up this. Do you remember a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. What a couple in the Scriptures. It's amazing to think that people think like that. But I'm going to tell you, they ain't so much different than what we are today. Do you suppose that there's anybody that ever comes in under a tent or goes to a chapel building that isn't pulling the same kind of shenanigans that they were back then? I say that it happens every Sunday. They come in there just as pious as they could be. They had sold it and they given it all. That's the way they presented it. If you remember, I think it was him come in there, wasn't it, and done it, and come in there and they offered that and said, and why'd you lie to the Holy Ghost? You know, he made a decision. It didn't have to be that way. God wasn't, you know, if they'd have gave part of it and said, now listen, I got some other things I got to do and I'm going to give part of it. Do you know, God wouldn't have condemned them for that. That wasn't what the problem was. They're just being honest about it. But they were lying to God. They were lying and trying to lie to the people and lie to God with it. They made a choice. They thought that there was no penalty. That's why they done it. Do you know what happens? You know what happened? What the Scripture said happened? After they ended up, they drug him off, and then in a little while she came and did the same thing, and he said, the feet of the ones that packed your husband off, they're coming to get you, and she falls dead, and he goes, and it said, the Scripture said, and there was great fear. Yeah. Why? Because sometimes sentences is quicker than that. That's why. And when you start thinking in those terms, you start responding different. Thinking different. Folks, time's not that long. Listen, it's only a human thought. It's not a God thought. We think in 70-year terms and 30-year terms, and I can get by with it and get by with it. It's time-related. Don't think that way. Sin corrupts you. You're going to pay the penalty of it. It's going to hurt you. It's going to defile you. Somewhere down the line, it's going to destroy everything I have seen over and over in my life. Two young people get together with hopes and dreams of future and of love and of everything being great, and they didn't get married to lose it. They didn't go into that relationship for it to be destroyed. But somewhere in the middle of that, they thought they could do it without God. They thought they could do it without righteous principles and holy living. And they started allowing things in their life. I'm not here to tell you that everybody that don't live for... I've seen people live together for 50 and die that never served the Lord. I've seen that. But I'm going to tell you, to really be successful, I've seen them hate each other too, all the way through, and fight. I had somebody say to me one time, said, well, I would divorce him if I hadn't made an oath. I said, well, what kind of an oath did you make? I didn't make no oath like that. That I'm going to hate you and do all that and stay in the same room with you. I didn't make no oath with my wife like that. My oath to my wife was that I was going to love her and honor her and cherish her, and to her and only her, all my life. Now that was my oath, and that's what I intend to do. You know what happens? People begin to lose the idea of that, and little things start happening, and those young dreams, young hopes, young desires that they had of what the future is going to be like, sometimes in a matter of just a few months, and sometimes not even years, the whole thing starts crumbling. And sometimes there's little children involved that don't know up from down, and they become so misused and abused, and the emotional struggles that happens in people's life, and thus our world goes, doesn't it? Is that not the testimony of our society today? That just keeps going endlessly, endlessly going down this pattern, and all of a sudden we wonder why there's alternative lifestyles, and I'm going to tell you, they're bred in that kind of a thing. They really are. If you get to the bottom of them, children don't know who they are or what to do or which way to turn. Don't tell me there's something value in that. Don't even think it. And thus it goes, and holiness is shoved back, and the world comes in, and I'm telling you that for every bit of it, it's a canker on us. It's a cancer. It is something that is destroying us as a people, as I say, as a nation. But there is a remedy, and I'm thank God for it tonight to be able to say it. I'm glad that I can be able to say this tonight. Jesus has made a difference in my life. And I'll tell you, I've had my times. There's been times, I'll be honest with you, there's been times I've struggled and done all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you this, the security of my life. And now, I love my wife a lot. But that ain't secure enough. The security is God. There has been times where the struggles in life have been a little much, but then there's God. And then when I say, Lord, I'm not willing to lose this, what should I do? Over and over you'll hear the Lord say, Marty, humble yourself. You get low enough and I'll do something for you here. I'll come in and try to make the difference in this. Oh, it's hard to do sometimes. Oh, but how often we can make ourselves miserable living this way, living to the flesh, trying to struggle to get my way and all I'm doing. But just because a sentence is not executed speedily, folks, listen, for everything unlike God, there's going to be a penalty for it. It will grow into something. I've seen it firsthand of relationships that got just a little selfish behavior in it. That could not hold it. The relationship could not hold it when it grew out. It became too much. It became people pulling away from one another. So Lord, help us tonight. He stands always ready to make a difference in our life. He is the one that's going to make the difference. If we'll turn our lives over to Him, I can assure you tonight, if you don't know where to go, He does. He knows what you ought to do and where you ought to go. I'll be bold enough to say this. If you ain't got a companion and you want one and the Lord sees you ought to have one, He can give you the right one.
Yes.
You pray and the Lord can do it. I believe that.
Yes.
I believe the Lord is interested in the details of our life enough to lead us through it and everything. I believe God will give you just what you need to make it all the way through. I believe the Lord will secure us in everything. I happen to have not been saved till I was 23 years old. I run the world. I done everything the world does. This is the way I live my life. I got saved at 23 years old, and I can stand up and say, of all the things that God forgave me from and delivered me from, and I say, thank God for the sin that He delivered me from. But I'm going to tell you, for everyone that got saved when you were 7 years old, He delivered you from the same thing. You was destined to go down that road. You was destined to follow your own path. And if God saved you, He saved you from the same filthiness that He saved me from.
Amen. That's right.
And it's worth it.
Yes.
It's worth it. So tonight, the Lord offers a way out.
Yes,
don't be caught up tonight in the idea that because that there is a delayed gratification or that there is a delay in the sentence. There isn't. There is a delay, but every word God spoke is absolutely coming true.
Yes.
And if you follow the path of that, and I'm going to say this in the fear of God, for just to sow some seeds to think about. Because I believe in a deathbed experience being real. I think people can turn their lives over, but I think it's an awful gamble.
Yes.
I think it's an awful risky thing. And it's because I have been in the place to see people that live their life without God. And the principal thing to gaining salvation, our part, if you will, He done His part. Our part is to have faith enough to receive it. You've got to have faith to be saved. And if you live all your life in sin, you're going to find it hard, if not impossible, to have faith enough to be saved. I know from my own life, there is no way I believe that I could ever get to the place that if I squandered my years of life knowing what I know the Lord can do, and then get up to being an old man and knowing that my days are limited, to have faith enough for God to save me, that if I could honestly say, if I had another 10 years to live, I'd want to live it for You, Lord. I couldn't have faith knowing that I hadn't lived it that way already. What I'm saying is, don't risk it, folks. Don't risk saying, well, I'll get saved when I want to get saved. You may not have faith enough to be saved. God may not convict you against sin. You've got to have a hatred against sin, or you're going to say, I would rather have sin than this. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But if I had 20 years, I sure love what I've been doing. If you don't have a conviction against it, folks, you're not going to be saved. So don't go that way. Don't eat of that fruit. Don't go down that path. If you find tonight that you're on a road of hypocrisy, pretending to be something that you're not. If you find tonight that you're on a road that's going steadily away from God, you don't have the relationship that you once did, this is a good time to change it. Because I believe tonight that the Lord's saying, come. Come. I'm forever there with you. Yeah, you've squandered it, and now you're down. Your friends will run off of you, but I ain't going to run off. I'll be here. And I'm a pleading with you tonight. Make this your choice. Turn around and come the right way. These are your prayers. Yes.